And I know there's all kinds of people who say, no, no, it's just the king of Tyre. If a virgin shall conceive can refer to the Messiah, then the king of Tyre can refer to Satan. All right. And in that he rebelled. You know, this is not unforeseen by God or anything like that. But it was what he was created to do from the beginning. Now, he wouldn't have known that any more than I know what my destiny is. But it was fully in his desire to do what he did. Iniquity was in him, and it was found. The son of perdition. The son of destruction. That is what he is. And I have no doubt that that is what he was created to be. And I have no qualms with that at all. He had a place of power in the past, or of privilege. And the idea was for him to fall from that position so that his fall could be great. What did God say to Pharaoh? Is it any different? For this purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you. I raised you up. You are unworthy. Satan was unworthy from the beginning, and God showed him favor and lifted him up. And in his corruptness,
Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities.
What we can learn of him, there is scripture. But I do not like to speculate beyond what we have written. You know, it becomes difficult. Because some people want to jump to conclusions based on what is written. What is written is written.
But I want to be very careful that we do not intrude into things that we have not seen. That we do not intrude into things that have not been revealed. I mean, what may be learned about the rebellion of Satan is limited to a very few references. The ones I generally look at are Ezekiel 31, Ezekiel 28, perhaps Isaiah 14, but I generally think of that as being a future prophecy. And I tell you what, I've made songs of all of these. I mean, I've sung of his downfall. And we may also look at, of course, Revelation 12. But in addition, you know, you look at what was said of Pharaoh. And, you know, all those other figures who I said before are like Antichrist. And what you may learn of what is said of them may also be applied to the devil.
But this goes back to what I was saying about how the order of things are right now. You know, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you. He is not now in the world the way he will be in the world when he is cast out. And that's why it says he is not. In the time of John, through the time now, he has not been in the world in that form as the beast.
Presiding over the multitudes, you know, riding upon the waters.
He's the accuser of our brethren. He has all kinds of roles he plays in the current time, but he is not this beast leading astray men or angels. You know, the great dragon who leads them astray.
And by that I mean in a very direct sense. Yes, I know he's leading people astray now, but not by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Not by means that are described in chapter 13. You know, not personally. And I think that is really the distinction. Because every other Antichrist figure, you could say that you know, Satan somehow possessed or inhabited them. But the Antichrist at the end is going to be uniquely satanic.
So the beast is currently, it is not. His great power, and you know, the dragon gave the beast his power and his seat and great authority. But he does not have that now.
You know, the power and the seat and the authority that Satan offered to Christ when he tempted him, he will sort of deliver up to himself. the spiritual Satan delivering the powers to the physical Satan or to the visible Satan or however you want to consider that, the beast.
You know, and there is a current state of affairs which is going to be changed when the dragon is cast out and he is among us again in a very real way. And this has reference to that. He is not, and yet is. I mean, he is. He's in the world. He is in the world. He is the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. He is in the world, yet he is not in the world. But he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, make war with the saints, and the whole world will wonder after him, and the whore will ride upon him. Lucifer, son of the morning, bright star, son of the dawn, how art thou fallen from heaven? I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That was a vision, a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he will fall. And he will have the key of the bottomless pit. And out of it shall ascend the beast that will rule the world. And you know, a lot of the church world is going to be caught up in it. A lot of that visible sort of fake church world. And here's the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. The seven hills of Rome.
Is that the wise man's choice?
I don't think so, but I tend to think of it as seven dominions over which the kings shall rule. The seven heads are the dominions of the beast. You know, he's multi-headed, and in the sense that, like I said, he might, to the different peoples of the world, might give different stories. One part of the world, he's one thing. One part of the world, he's another.
But there are seven, and in that is filled up all that he is.
But definitely the whore is a worldwide phenomenon. She rides on his back. In any case, she sits on the seven mountains. This waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth. She sits on the beast is on the waters, she's on the waters as well. So the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. There are seven kings. Now, here, seven heads, seven mountains, there are seven kings. And there are seven kings. Seven kings, five are fallen, one is, the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, for he knoweth he hath but a short time. What these seven kings represent, you know, whether I've heard people go and, you know, go back and actually drag out actual figures.